The next case is number 2010-1312, American Seating Company against Custom Seating Unlimited. Mr. Dickinson.
May it please the court. The invention of the 931 patent is a vandal-resistant seat insert for use in public transportation vehicles in urban areas. This, that I am holding in my hand, is a test specimen prepared from one of those seat inserts pursuant to ASTM D903. It is obviously not a seat insert in itself, but ASTM D903 says you have to reduce a seat insert to a specimen like this before you can begin the test. I submit that a seat insert that has been cut up into pieces like this has already been vandalized. Furthermore, I submit that the common sort of vandal that is of concern to persons of skill in the art is not equipped with the kinds of bandsaws or power equipment necessary to slice through the fiberglass substrate of a seat insert to peel it in the way that this thing has been peeled.
Counsel, there's evidence in the record that it took only 7 pounds of force, and then testimony that says 7 pounds is very easy to pull for the accused infringing devices to be torn. Regardless of what the district court's claim construction is, whether it should be 25-pound limitation, whether it should be impossible to peel or very, very, very difficult to peel, under any of those possible constructions, isn't 7 pounds still summary judgment of non-infringement?
No, because the only evidence in the record that says you can that 7 pounds is easy to pull, 7 pounds of peel resistance is easy to pull, is in the context of a specimen that has been prepared like this. This is not a seat insert, and I would submit that if I can wrap my hand around the entire strip of fabric like this, 25 pounds is not that hard to pull. The invention distinguished itself in the patent application from prior art seat inserts that had foam padding or that used flat woven upholstery that when you cut them would expose a cut edge that would enable a vandal to reach underneath the upholstery fabric, get a good hard, a good firm grasp, and pull. You've reduced the invention, which is designed to avoid that problem, to that exact situation when you prepare a test strip like this, because now you can, either with your hand or with a piece of test equipment, reach underneath the fabric and pull on it. Furthermore, I would submit that well, when you do this, this is a combination patent. And it includes as elements a vertical pile fabric and a bond that adheres that vertical pile directly to the substrate. Those three elements cooperate together to produce vandal resistance. And when you do this to the seat insert, you've eliminated the function or that interaction and made the test simply one of the strength of the bond.
Well, what about the prosecution history where the remarks say with such strength that the upholstery cannot be peeled from the substrate? And then that's on A384. On A385, they again say the fabric cannot be peeled away from the adhesive layer. And then on a little further down on 385, thus making peeling of the fabric next to impossible. What do we do with those statements?
First of all, I think in the prosecution history, there are a number of statements, including restrained peeling. I think the statements made are ambiguous as to exactly how difficult the peeling has to be.
Ambiguous. Cannot be peeled away from the adhesive layer.
Well, it's ambiguous in the context of other statements that say it restrains peeling. But the issue...
Show me the other statements in this response that would cast doubt on the language that your client used. Because we have to construe the language. Okay. Is it a clear and unmistakable disclaimer? And you're saying there's other language that would give people a different impression. So show me where that other language is in this response.
Well, I can't do that off the top of my head. But,
well, it's in your appendix. I mean, we're talking about it's only a three-page response, A384 and 385. I misspoke. It's a five and a half page response. So,
A388, Your Honor.
Okay, 388.
If you go up above the last paragraph, 1, 2, 3, 4 lines, it refers to a high strength adhesive that is sufficient to restrain peeling. And what we're dealing with here, Your Honor, is not a comparison with prior art that had a lower strength of
well,
adhesive.
So the question is, what does it mean that is sufficient to restrain peeling? The same page up above, further, the purpose of the present invention is to provide a vandal-resistant coating that cannot be peeled from the substrate. On the same page,
it does say that. Yes, it expresses the degree of peel resistance in different ways, but what we're trying to overcome is objection based upon Shaman, which is an acoustic ceiling tile, and it was not a question of how much strength resistance do you have to have in order to overcome the resistance based on Shaman.
I agree with you that I didn't see anything in Shaman that would have required you to have said it can't be peeled under any circumstances in order to get over Shaman. But doesn't our patent law say that for purposes of prosecution history, even if you didn't need to say as much as you did to get around the reference, you're still bound by what you did say?
I would say that certainly the when you say something cannot be peeled, that there are circumstances when it can be peeled. That should not be read to mean unequivocally that under no circumstances is it possible to peel this. In fact, when Dr. Hartshorn, our adhesives expert, performed the test that is described in the patent specification as slashing the fabric with a knife, he was unable to peel the fabric from the substrate,
and the district
either with his fingertips
counsel,
or...
The district court's construction says that you're saying is flawed, says it can't be manually peeled. So didn't the district court recognize exactly what you're suggesting now, which, oh, come on, you can't say can't be peeled. I mean, under some circumstance, it's going to be capable of being peeled. The Incredible Hulk sits down on the seat and he pulls, you know, it's going to peel. But the district court said can't be manually peeled. So doesn't that take into account sort of the impossibility issue?
I'm not sure what manually takes into account. I mean, clearly what's contemplated here is a process that begins with the slashing of a knife. If you're going to use ASTM D903, you're using a lot more than a razor blade. You're using a bandsaw or something that cuts fiberglass. That limiting interpretation of resist, I submit, is just unwarranted because it goes against the common and ordinary meaning of what resist means, which is to provide a certain amount of opposing force, but not necessarily one that is decisive. And that is what is contemplated by the slash test, where you don't use every possible maneuver or tool that could be brought to bear to vandalize the seat, but you simply take a razor blade or sharp cutting tool and make a slash in it. And so I think that our alternative claim construction, which talks about a bond strength that is sufficient to deter or discourage a vandal, better gets at the idea that perhaps there might be some amount of force that could be brought to bear to separate the fabric from the substrate. But in the context of a vandal on a bus who's making a slash at fabric and then trying to pull on an exposed edge. I think that in that context, resist peeling is better embraced by the concept of how much strength, how much bond strength is necessary to deter or discourage a vandal, because that is what the object of the invention is.
How would you define the bond strength then of the particular cover?
How would I define it?
Mm-hmm.
Persons of skill in the art, such as Keith McDowell and Julian Sandu, who have performed this slash test, which was simulated by Dr. Hartshorn, find that's a feasible test to perform, a reasonable indication of peel resistance, and Dr. Hartshorn testified that at that level of aggressiveness, if you will, the application of force to lift that cut edge, either with your fingertips or with even a pair of pliers, which is not manually, but even that is going to not succeed in separating that fabric from the substrate. I think the important thing about the difference between our claim construction and the one adopted by the district court is that Dr. Hartshorn then proceeded, after performing the slash test, to be more aggressive, to make multiple cuts, to gouge and lever, try to work his blade underneath the fabric, and to essentially cut a flap, you know, a three-sided flap into the fabric. And when he does all that, then it comes up. And that could be considered manual. He's not using any power tools. He's simply using the razor blade contemplated by the specification. And it does come up in that fashion. But well, in order to do that, he's gone far beyond the slashing procedure described in the specification of the patent, and where we submit that anything that requires that amount of activity, that amount of, you know, careful, you know, diligence and industriousness, is going to be beyond the typical vandal. In other words, there may be vandals out there who are going to do that type of aggressive attack on the seat insert, and they're going to vandalize the seat insert. I submit that you can do that to the preferred embodiment, like the American Seating VR50, if you work at it hard enough. But I submit that a jury should be entitled to look at what Dr. Hartshorn had to do in order to separate this fabric from this substrate and say, it was possible. It didn't prevent peeling the fabric from the substrate. But that amount of effort, that amount of resistance is sufficient to deter or discourage a vandal on a crosstown bus in a city.
Let's hear from the other side, and we'll save you rebuttal time, Mr. Dickens.
Your Honor, it's Terry Lynn for Custom Seating. I'd like to address the questions that you posed to my opposing counsel here. Easy to peel, and that's qualified by their outside expert and their inside inventor. Easy to peel would not meet any standard that's been proposed by either side in this case. It cannot be resistant to peeling if it's easy to peel.
Well, but now, when we talked about easy to peel, they said something that required only 7 pounds of force, right? They didn't say, their expert didn't testify Customs product would be easy to peel.
That's correct. He did not specifically apply it in that regard. However, the 7 pounds were tested by their in-house American Seating's testing lab and found to be 7 pounds. And the question to the test lab supervisor, well, that's 7 pounds. Is that easy to peel? And he said, yes.
But as I understand Mr. Dickinson's argument, it's that the type of test that was performed doesn't at all mirror what is disclosed in the patent. You can't create a flap and then say, you know, how hard is it to peel? Because one of the major advantages of the invention is that it prevents you from creating a flap. So, you know, the test isn't an adequate means for determining the amount of force required to peel in the inventive product.
That's a different aspect of the invention, and the patent does in fact address the fact that this bond strength, the value of the bond strength, is when you have a flap and you've got a hold of it. Specifically, if you look at the bottom of column 2 of the patent, that's at A37, that bottom paragraph starts out at line 51 and in the first sentence addresses what the invention is. And it says, when an attempt is made to vandalize the seating of the present invention by slashing, and it talks about the invisibility of the cuts, and is not peelable or separable from the substrate. It proceeds from that statement of the invention itself to a discussion of the vertical pile fabric and how that conceals the cut. That's another feature or aspect, but that's not what's being disputed here. And then it talks about the amount of glue or adhesive that's being applied, and that that level of saturation prevents it from being fraying. That deals with the permeation aspects in some of the claims. And then finally, the last sentence, it says, further, the strength of the adhesive, now we're talking about the bond strength, the strength of the adhesive is so great that even if there were bits of the backing material or pile that could be gripped, so it's talking about once the vandals got a hold of it, the fabric itself will tear before the backing will separate. This discussion, and there's different claim elements that are addressed to different features and functions, this ASTM standard was not used by the court to say, ASTM standard equates to infringement. No, this is an industry recognized, universally applied, and the patent recognizes this to be the test to use to determine how strong is the bond. Now, that's only one part of the process, and the judge and the court below understood that and said, okay, you've got 7 pounds. We've measured it. It's not, you know, what does that tell you? And that's where we move on to the American seating outside expert and in-house people who say, well, 7 pounds is easy to peel. And they themselves in their briefing concede that, and they use the word peel, that they concede that if it is easy to peel, it would not meet the standard or the meet the patent. What the spin that's happening here on this appeal is that now we're talking about peel is we're stepping away from the actual peeling. This is getting it started, and that, well, there's going to be some difficulty there. Well, that's not what's contemplated by the patent. It's not what was being argued in the prosecution, and it's not what was being presented previously. It's this new get it started standard, but the patent itself talks about the peel strength and the degree of bond being a factor of determination by getting a hold of it and peeling it back. The evidence of record includes the inventor, Mr. McDowell, at A310 in the appendix, talks about how a vandal will use, or you can pry up with a knife. They're using the knife to cut. They get it started, grab it, and then it can be readily peeled. Then Dr. Hartshorn, their expert, same thing at A954, talks about the use of a knife to get it started. You get a hold of it, and away you go. And that's the kind of thing that the patent at the bottom of column 2 is specifically addressing. This slash test is not a peel test. It may be something that people look at vis-a-vis vandalism. You can vandalize something with lipstick, cigarettes, knives, you know, anything. Vandalism is not just cutting and peeling. This patent is directed to a particular type of vandalism. And that's where this slash test may address the fact that there's concealing of the cut, sure, but then they don't say, well, now people try to peel it and measure the degree. No one has tested the peel resistance or peel strength of anything, at least under this record, other than by way of an ASTM standard, period. And that's what the court found.
Could I turn you to the claim construction? I want to let you finish
please.
This argument.
No.
Okay. So with the claim construction, do you think that claim 1's requirement that the bond strength that is sufficient to resist peeling is broader or narrower than Claim 2's 25 pound per inch limitation. Claim 2 says the peel strength has to be at least 25 pounds. So is Claim 1's sufficient to resist peeling broader or narrower than Claim 2's 25 pounds?
I think it's broader, Your Honor.
Broader.
Broader, yes. And Claim 2 is a narrowing dependent claim.
Actually, Claim 2 is independent here, isn't it? Looks independent to me.
Okay, well, it is.
It's okay, but I just...
Regardless, yeah, I apologize. I believe at one point
prosecution, originally Claim 2 was dependent, but then they made it independent for allowability and anyway.
Yes, exactly.
But you do agree that it's broader than the 25-pound rule?
Yes, and if you look...
Would a person be able to peel 25 pounds of force manually?
I don't believe so. I mean, there may be some people, as you say, the Incredible Hulk, but the normal...
Young boys.
Yeah, well, there you go, Your Honor. The 25 pounds was put in specifically for a reason by the patentee. And if it's not, it says the 25 pounds, the typical person or normal person can't peel it. Yes, there may be people out there that could do it, but that's a good numerical bright line cutoff. Moreover, Claim 2 isn't just 25 pounds. There's more to it than that. They bring in the fabric strength as another aspect to it. It says the strength of the bond has got to be greater than the tear resistance of the fabric or the 25 pounds. So now you're putting in a relative term and you're incorporating not just the bond strength, but the strength of the fabric. Now that's tearing the fabric this way.
Well, last time this case was on appeal, Judge Bryson wrote an opinion indicating that the 25-pound limitation could not be imported into Claim 1. The Claim 1 was much broader.
I agree. And we're not attempting to do that here.
But the district court says impossible to peel manually. Doesn't that make the definition of these terms under Claim 1 actually narrower under his construction than the 25-pound rule? My concern is I think he violated law of the case. I mean, the Federal Circuit said you can't incorporate 25 pounds. That term is broader, and I think he adopted a construction which actually makes it narrower.
I don't believe he intended to make it narrower. He, in fact, referenced the fact that the Claim 1 standard that he interposed and we agree with is that it provides some degree of latitude around the 25. Maybe it's 22. Maybe it's 21. A person cannot manually peel has some latitude around there, whereas the 25 pounds or the strength of the fabric is a bright line delineation. Now, I don't want to go too far off tangent on the law of the case because that was a non-precedential opinion. However,
the law of the case is
still binding.
It was good for us. We absolutely did not try to disagree or avoid it. The 25 pound limitation is not something that we or the court, I believe, interpreted or incorporated into the interpretation of Claim 1.
But I assume, if I understand your argument right, it is that even if the district court's construction is incorrect, that regardless of which construction is adopted, 7 pounds, i.e. easy to peel, doesn't meet that construction.
Absolutely, Your Honor. Under their criteria, under our criteria, and in fact, as they admit, easy to peel cannot meet the criteria of this patent. The only issue here is that they're now coming in with a spin that peeling doesn't really mean peeling. It means, well, it's tough to get started. Once you get started, then it's easy to peel. And that's the distinction here. At the time that in the USSC case, and Judge Gisaris is much more intimately familiar with it probably than I, but the determination was whether the 25-pound limitation came in, but there was no argument or presentation saying, okay, what does it mean to peel? or resist peel. Yes, it was determined that it wasn't restricted to a specific numerical limit. As you know, this court has many times said, you're not going to take a numerical limit and incorporate it into a claim. But
what if we restructured the claim itself and said basically that what it means is a bond strength that exceeds the tensile strength of the fabric? That'd be sufficient. That'd be proper.
In this particular, well, would it deal with this case? Yes, because 7 pounds is far less than bond strength of the fabric. Would it be proper? I'd have to look at it.
Redefine the claim construction.
I think you'd be incorporating something that now you've got a limitation, and I'd have to look at the prosecution history to see if you could do that.
Tying the bond strength to the tensile strength of the fabric.
Well, it's comparing the comparison of the bond strength of the adhesive to the tensile strength of the fabric. So now you're putting a bright line limitation into the claim, and absent something from the prosecution, I guess, I wouldn't necessarily go there. Could you do it? I'd have to look at the file history to see if you could do that. I think you might be incorporating a bright line. But if you
What would be the proper claim construction then?
Proper claim construction.
If we eliminate the 25-pound limitation that the judge essentially incorporated?
It's a bond strength that a person cannot normally peel, cannot manually peel, I should say. And
that's what they said in claim one?
Yes. It's something that a person cannot manually peel, and to the extent you were going to modify it, it'd be under normal conditions, I guess.
They didn't say not manually peel. Oh. They said resist peeling.
That's right.
Sufficient to resist peeling.
Sufficient to resist peeling, and that goes back to what did they say in the patent, what resist peeling means, and the patent itself talks about that resists and effectively prevents the fabric peeling from the substrate.
And 7 pounds resists peeling, vigorously, but somewhat.
Well, 0.01 pounds would resist under that criteria to a certain degree, as long as it doesn't fall off when you turn it over, then it cannot.
I think the specification would eliminate that construction.
I believe so too, and it would it eliminates anything that simply resisting to a level that it's puts up some degree of pullback isn't going to be sufficient, because the idea is to make it so a vandal, when they cut it and they got a hold of it, can't peel it off without either the glue is too strong, or if they can get enough force on it, they tear the fabric, one of the two.
Well, isn't that really the tensile strength of the fabric versus the bonding of the material to the post or to whatever seat?
Yes. Yeah, that is.
So you're really playing with those two terms, aren't you? The bonding versus the tensile strength of the fabric?
They work in conjunction, but claim one specifically is dealing with the bonding, the adhesive strength.
Claim one says substrate with a bond strength that is sufficient to resist peeling of the fabric from the substrate.
Right. And in the dictionary definitions of resist, essentially says you can't do it.
I think that resist, the definition doesn't go that far. But if you put it in the, I think your point is made by referring to the specification.
The specification trumps other things. The definitions and the dictionaries or whatever, this is the dictionary that we're working from, and the disclosure and the definitions ascribed as to the fact that it can't be peeled, and we're talking about manually peeled under normal conditions, even when you've got a hold of it. That's the definition. The prosecution history followed up and reinforced it and said it again and again. The one reference that Mr. Dickinson referred to where the other language was used, the restrain, that at page A388, there they were specifically addressing this rejection on Shaman, and they were saying here in this, in the claimed invention, that's at A338, you've got a high strength adhesive that restrains the removal, and in Shaman, they don't have any adhesive at all. It's molded in place. It wasn't an effort to define the degree or how strong the bond was. It was just saying, here we use glue, we use an adhesive. Shaman doesn't use an adhesive.
To that extent, Shaman does not limit the interpretation.
No, that's right. But, I mean, as this court has pointed out many times, Norian v. Stryker, which you're familiar with intimately, is that if you make arguments during prosecution and you say that this is an aspect or the invention, you can't go back and say, well, we want to backpedal away from that because we could have done it differently or we only needed to go so far. Otherwise, there's no notice function that this patent provides to the public at large.
No, we know that law.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
I think that we've exhausted your time, Mr. Lin.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Dickinson.
And my co-counsel tells me I might have flipped the McDowell versus the Hartshorn. The particular, when I said which page in the appendix was Hartshorn versus McDowell.
Okay.
I want to come back to what's easy to peel, but before I do that, I want to start with Judge Gaharsa's question relating to the tensile strength of the fabric and the last sentence at the bottom of column 2 of the patent. This is a claim that was specifically stated in claim 1 of the subsequent 539 patent, which appears on A45 of the appendix. If you look at column 6, looks like lines 36 through 40. This is where that aspect of the of bond strength is addressed. That particular element is not in claim 1.
This text doesn't help your argument, does it?
I'm sorry?
This text you've referred us to, that doesn't help your position,
no.
Is it?
You're talking about the bottom of claim 2?
Yeah.
I mean the bottom of column 2?
Yeah.
It does not. What I'm saying is that aspect of the invention was the subject of a subsequently issued patent, 539, claim 1, expressing this invention in different terms that relate directly to tensile strength of the fabric, terms that do not appear in claim 1.
Okay.
Well, with respect to what's easy to pull, at the risk of repetition, the only evidence in the record that says that 7 or 8 pounds is easy to pull is in the context of a specimen with a loose flap that has been prepared for testing, like in ASTM D903. ASTM D903 is not recited in patent or the prosecution history, and we think that when you get away from that, when you start looking at the intact seat inserts, the evidence in the record, Dr. Hartshorn, who performs the slash test, says at A876, it's not a quick and easy matter to damage one of these seats. He's describing the degree of difficulty get up a custom seating seat insert that presumably has a P keel strength of around 7 or 8 pounds. And let's get the Incredible Hulk out of here too. I'm telling you, if I can wrap my whole hand around this, I can easily exert 25 pounds of pulling force on this thing. And I don't think that I'm substantially stronger than the kinds of people that vandalize buses in our urban setting. I also want to point out that with respect to the visibility of the cut that Mr. Lynn alluded to, Dr. Hartshorn said when he was cross-examined about his slash test performed by himself, he said at A716, you had to look carefully to see the slight trace in the fabric. Point being, you don't see a cut edge when you run this blade over this type of a structure. Well, what you see is like a combing of the vertical pile fibers, which disappears if you just brush it with your hand. You do not see the cut edge, which obviously does not disappear when you brush it with your hand. And that is what makes it difficult for a vandal to figure out how to get underneath this thing and pull it. And that is what the people of skill in the art equate peel resistance to, as testified by Julian Sandu at A812 and Keith McDowell at A959 when they're asked, how would you test this thing to determine its peel resistance? They say, both of them, in essence, I'd cut it and I'd pull it. I think that's literally what Keith McDowell says. Julian Sandu talks about when you cut it, you can't pull the fabric off. He is a person, he's a customer who is with Chicago Transit Authority, who is knowledgeable about what you need to do to provide peel resistance in the context of the problem of vandalism.
Any more questions for Mr. Dickinson? Any more questions? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Dickinson and Mr. Lane. The case is taken under submission.